Amen. Good morning. It's good to be in the house of God again. And we do have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? It's good to be here, first of all. It's good to be with the church, brothers and sisters, saints of God, those that love the Lord. Wow, we're privileged. We are absolutely have an opportunity that we hear that maybe the rest of the world is really challenged with in having, and the freedom that we have to gather together. In light of that, just want to share a little bit on the opportunities we have, and just going through another day where we can celebrate Thanksgiving Day and reflecting on what we can be thankful for. We had my family, my extended family at our house for a dinner, which was a real blessing. And afterwards, we just went around the circle, children included, and just said to each other or shared with each other what one thing is that we're thankful for. And it was amazing what came out of that. Anything from father, mother, to the blood of Jesus Christ, to And we stand here this morning, we could probably use all of our time up just going around the circle here and saying what we're thankful for. So we are thankful this morning. I just want to share maybe to bring that in perspective to our setting here and in being thankful. And I guess in being thankful is a part of the Christian walk. It's an ingredient that is so important. Once you become ungrateful, then you become discontent. You become disgruntled, or you start complaining. Why can't I have this or that and everything else? And it is an ingredient in the Christian walk that we have an opportunity to be thankful. But here it is. This comes from the website called Compassion. Christian website. I didn't research them a lot, but it is seems to be more in the area of humanitarian aid. But here's some stats that they came through with. It says 1 in 7 people will go to bed hungry tonight. Think about this. 1 in 7. When you look around the room, every 7 people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, one of you guys would go to bed hungry tonight. This is on the average. 1 in 3 children live without adequate shelter. The typical American child has an entire 144 square feet of bedroom to call his own. 1 in 5 children live without safe water. That is amazing. An American family uses 540 gallons of water a day. Really? 180 gallons just on keeping the lawn green. This is good drinking water. 800 children died every hour in 2011, 19,000 a day, 575,000 a month. That's almost the entire population of Wyoming dying every month. We have a lot to be thankful for. In light of that, and then I'll get into the message, but I just want to share a chapter that I was, if you want to, you can turn with me to Psalm 96 in the area of thankfulness, of celebrating unto the Lord. He says, O sing, Psalm 96, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Look at the action steps on our part. Sing unto the Lord, if you underline that. Verse 2, sing unto the Lord, you underline that. Bless his name. There's another one. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Oh, wow. We talked last night about, Paul says, I die daily. And recently someone here, I'm not sure who it was, asked me, you know, what does a foundation of repentance look like? And I guess I can't explain it better than Paul says, I die daily. I die to myself daily and unto the Lord. And he says, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before me all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Wow, the world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So much to be thankful for, and such an opportunity that we have. I was blessed with that that chapter as I thought of Thanksgiving, and trust you all were able to thank the Lord in some way and reflect on what he has and where he has you in your life. Okay, on the subject of communion, maybe just giving a little outline this morning. We plan to have communion here, and then have the feet washing, and then afterwards we plan to gather back together again for a time of prayer, praying for each other, and then we'll end up worshiping in closing. As far as the message, I know I've shared a few times. Maybe it's your first time with us in communion. If it is, welcome. We're excited to have you with us. I guess I kind of forget how fast time goes. Recently, we were with some of the leaders of the youth group, and we were sharing kind of what the vision is for the youth. And they said, well, we actually never heard this. And I'm like, wow, we don't do a very good job of sharing, you know, continually what the vision is for the youth, what the vision is for the church. And even in this subject, what does all this mean? Why do we do these things? So we'll look into the Word of God and just see, gather a little bit before we go to communion. And so we're gathered here. This is a sacred, I don't even know if I want to call it an event, a gathering. This is a very sacred gathering to the Lord, and you're blessed to be a part of it. And I'm blessed. I'm very thankful that we can do this in remembrance of Christ and what he has done for us, and just the atonement that he's made for us and for our lives. And that secondly, it does remind us of the resurrection. Oh, if it wouldn't be for the resurrection. Wow. Jesus rising up out of the grave in victory and in power. And therefore, we can overcome sin. So, as I come to communion, I think the biggest thing that stands out in my heart this morning, or has stood out as I was preparing for this message, is what is the condition? What is the condition of my heart as I come to communion this morning? As we look in through the Word of God and bringing scriptures out, none of us know that about each other. But we're all going to, Lord willing, have communion together. And we're going to see warnings in Scripture about communing with each other if there are if there's willful sin in our lives. But we don't know that about each other. So I trust God and His Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning, into each of us individually. And if there are things in your life that would hinder your brother or sister, if they would know that, you can repent this morning. There's plenty of floor space to get down on your knees. There's an altar here that's always open. that you can repent and we can all have communion together in unison. And so what is the condition of my heart as I come? And then the feet washing, becoming a servant, and being a servant like Christ. Just looking at some things that we usually look for according to Scripture was, if you've repented for your sin, and there's a continual repentance, but I think the foundation, if you repented, you turned away from your sin when you became a new man, you were born again, you accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, and you have gone through and you've received the water baptism, then you can come to communion this morning if your heart is clear. I don't know how far to go with this. We've been hearing probably the last 6-8 weeks of sin, what sin is, how God views it. We've been reminded over and over again of God's holiness versus sin. If you've been here consistently, you heard that over and over through different brothers over the last 6-8 weeks. And then, so I'm just going to continue right where the brothers left off last Sunday and just go into that. I feel like if God speaks that many times in a row, maybe we should heed to what he's speaking. And again, we don't know that totally about each other. But my encouragement this morning is, and I'm sure our encouragement to each other is, let's not hide sin. There is victory. We sang about that at Calvary. So I feel like it was a preparation. The last 6-8 weeks was a preparation for this morning. We heard about the danger of living in sin, the danger of putting something off, the danger of putting something before him, which ultimately would be an idol, and we'll see what the Word of God has to say about that later on. So Paul, in Corinthians, he encourages us to examine ourselves. And so before we go to communion this morning, let's examine ourselves. Let's think about what we're doing. Let's think about what we're involved in. Can you come with a pure heart? Can we all come with a pure heart after examining ourselves? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 11. And I know he's talking about fornication here, but may the word of God speak to us. He's warning the Corinthian church, about fornication. But those of us that have been born again, those of us that have given our life to Christ, are there things that we're dabbling with instead of serving Christ? Have we gone back? When he bought us, have we gone back and been fornicating with the world? Just keep that thought in your mind as we go through. Again, he's specifically talking about the action of fornication here. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that ye hath done this deed, might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such as one unto Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorifying is not good, knowing ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such as one know not to eat. There's a warning for us, a very strong warning, and it mentions a few different things. And I just want to pray yet before we go, Father. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, speak to us this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We open ourselves to you, and we see this as a sacred gathering as we observe and remember the broken body of Christ and the blood of Jesus that was shed. So we see this as a sacred gathering. And Lord, you say where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. So Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. May the word of God speak to our hearts this morning, Father. May it bring life to us. Lord, in whatever measure, in whatever way you want to work in our hearts, we open ourselves up this morning, Father, because we want to be pure in heart. We want to be clean. We just give you our time and give you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a strong warning to the Corinthian church. And then in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, he says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Or basically an unbeliever. Verse 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Going on and grabbing the first verse here in 7. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." One thing that will taint idols is, one thing that will taint the fear of the Lord is an idol in your life. Something that is taking the place of what God wants to do. And even maybe something that you already committed to. Something that you gave him when you were bought by him. And now taking it back, it will taint the fear of God in your life. And like I said before, as we come, we can look at it this way: is the work of the cross, the blood of Jesus, is available this morning for a cleansing. There is redemption for our sins. There is a foundation that was laid, and I'm not talking about, again, laying the foundations of repentance. I'm talking about if there's sin in our life, that foundation was laid at the beginning. And therefore, we can come and we can trust God when we fall on our knees, when we repent before the Lord, and we receive that forgiveness by faith, and he washes us white as snow. Whiter than snow, actually. A couple questions to consider as we prepare here. Is there an idol in your life? You've given your life. Have you compromised? Are there relationships you're responsible for and you're not taking care of them? Broken relationships. It can be anywhere. It can be father to daughter, husband to wife. It can be parents to parents, children to children. Children, this includes you this morning that are going to be partaking of the communion. Have you been disobedient to the Lord and His Holy Spirit? Children, have you been disobedient to your parents or dishonored them? Is there an addiction in your life? Something that steals your time or your passions? Is there something in your life that just literally takes away the passion you have for the Lord? Questions to consider as we prepare. In John, I don't know if I'm going to go over all these scriptures. Maybe I will just grab a couple of scriptures in John 6. Verse 32-40 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have sent me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Hallelujah. So Jesus is that bread. He's that bread of life. Then jumping down to verse 48, he says again, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and which I will give for the life of the world." So Jesus is that bread of life. And I find it interesting. I don't know if I ever picked that up that like I did this morning. He shall never, back to verse 35, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So in Matthew 6:33, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So that fulfills, that ties that together very well. So if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, look unto the Lord Jesus, because he will feed your hunger and he will quench your thirst. Hallelujah. So as we look at the bread before us, I just want to talk a little bit about that, the process of the wheat and the bread, the seed, the preparation of the ground. There's a planting and there's a growing. There's a harvesting of wheat berries, all the little berries. There's a grinding of wheat into fine flour. So as we look at this loaf, this obviously doesn't look like grain anymore, right? But it's a loaf. And so this loaf of bread had to be ground. It had to be harvested. It had to be planted. It had to be mixed with other berries and crushed and basically given up its own look or identity or whatever. And I think we would have a hard time if we would try to pick the individual berries out of this loaf of bread that were separate at one time. And it is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. When there's individuals that come together and they give themselves to each other, and you become as powder, should I say, and you operate together, you work together, you give yourself to each other, then only can you become bread for others. Then only can you feed others when there's a body going forward together. Otherwise, you'll be a berry yet. You'll be an individual berry, and you won't be part of the loaf or part of contributing to the baking of that loaf or the going forward of that body. So each individual is a wheat berry, allowing himself to be ground or broke, surrendering to other berries, giving himself for the sake of food, thinking beyond what it is today for the sake of the whole. There's just such a beautiful picture. He illustrates himself as bread, and then he also talks about us being used as bread, made and pressed into something new for a different purpose. So we saw there that Jesus, his goal was to do the will of the Father. He is our testimony. He's the potter. We're the clay. We're the bread. We give ourselves to him, and by choice, remember this, by choice we surrender. By choice we repent. I think it was Seth that talked about that recently in a message. It's your choice. It's our choice. It's my choice. By choice we surrender unto him and to one another. And then we can be bread for others or for each other. For our lives to be bread, we are broken to his purposes, loving our Lord and each other. Hallelujah. So then we go on into the cup, the blood. 1 Corinthians 10, there's a few verses. Says the cup of blessing, which we bless, is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The cup is to represent the blood of Christ that he shed on the cross for our sins. The word says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's in Hebrews 9:22. There's no remission of sin. So Jesus offers the cup of pain also in Matthew 26. 38-42. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then he goes on to say, and he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And it's a beautiful picture of, as we come to communion, let us remember that if you're in a test this morning or a trial, surrender that test. Surrender that trial to the Lord. And just drink. I'm talking about the Lord chastening the saints. That is biblical. We are chastened by the Lord. There's a difference. You'll know when it's the enemy in your life. But I'm talking about accepting the chastening of the Lord in your life. If there's a trial, if there's a test going on, say, Lord, help me. Drink that cup. Drink it and surrender it to the Lord. Give yourself to that. In Psalm 40, verse 8, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And it expresses an attitude that Jesus had in the garden there. So as we come to the communion table, with we check ourselves for a proper heart and attitude. And in 1 Corinthians 11, we see the warning that Paul expresses about coming to communion if you're not prepared. And the warning that he gives, 27 to 29, he says, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So he's not saying we can't. He's saying examine yourself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So in other words, when there is someone that taketh unworthily, it is like putting poison into this loaf of bread, and it finds its way throughout this loaf, but everyone eats of that bread, right? So it doesn't only poison that person, it poisons everyone here. So Paul's making this illustration. And, you know, we didn't write the Word of God. We're sharing here. This is serious. I guess I say that to say, backing up 6 to 8 weeks, what is the Lord speaking? What is he saying? How is he trying to prepare us this morning? And Paul makes it clear that there's two ways that one can take communion. Those who examine themselves and repent before taking. And in this verse was quoted a lot the last couple of weeks, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second thing he mentions is those who are judged for not examining themselves. And he says the danger of that. So if you are living in sin and not allowing the Lord to discipline or chasten you, we would just ask that you not take this morning. Do not take unworthily of communion if you're not willing to repent from your sin. Before you involve yourself in remembrance of Christ's sacrifice, repent for your sin and be restored to God and be renewed. There's a couple verses here. 30 and 32, why are we saying this? For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned within the world. That's the heart. That's the heart, is to come to God, and he'll forgive us from all our unrighteousness. I think we're going to go... I think we're going to go ahead and prepare ourselves here. Again, what we're feeling this morning is to have some sharing at the beginning here, and then we're going to move on into communion right now, I think. And then we're going to have, after that, we'll have feet washing and then gather back together again for fellowship, an informal fellowship and prayer time with each other. So I want to just take this loaf of bread. I'm going to break it. This is an illustration of the body of Christ. His body was broken for us. And if you picture on the cross, now remember, this took a bunch of individual wheat berries. And what we see here today is the results of the berries giving themselves to each other. But on the cross, the bread was divided to whosoever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that bread was given. He allowed his body to be broken. That's the parallel that we're looking at this morning. He gave himself for us, for you. Just imagine the sin that you were in your life so far. If it wouldn't have been for Jesus, what would it look like? Where would we turn to? I told our family on Thanksgiving, I said, if it wouldn't be for eternal life, what hope would I have? Where would we turn to? So hallelujah, we are thankful this morning for the broken body of Christ. So if the elders want to make their way up here, we're going to start distributing the bread and the juice. I think what we're going to do here is let's stand all together if you can. And with what was shared, if you just bow your head, close your eyes, and just reflect on what was shared. If you really need to repent at this time, I would encourage you to, according to the Word of God. So let's just take a couple moments here and just lay ourselves before the Lord in a quiet prayer here. Maybe just if you're weary, you're heavy laden, and you can't hardly see your way through, maybe communion is what you need. If you need rest, maybe this is what you need. Maybe there's a deep burden in your heart, or if you're struggling, or if you're just simply hungry and thirsty, maybe this is what you need. But first, let's just reflect on our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to convict us if there is any sin. Yes, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity. We thank you, God, that at this very moment, this hour, this time, in this room, we can get clear before you. Yes, we can get clear. We can be cleansed. So, Lord, I pray that you would cleanse our hearts, that we would come clean in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter who it is. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Anything that's not holy. Lord, we just come before you at the altar this morning. At the foot of the cross. Would you forgive if there are some here, Father? Would you forgive them from their unrighteousness, from their ways, Lord? Lord, that they can drive a stake in and decide to follow Jesus in that area. Thank you, God. And I just want to maybe bring something out here as part of the vision here at Cross Keys is that back in 2008, the bull and tower over here, or over here, it illustrates something, it says something to me. And I want to share, that's just a little piece of the vision here, is if you can do what the scripture says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least one of these, you have done it unto me. And that illustrates taking a bowl, a pitcher of water, and washing someone's feet. Basically ministering to someone. That is a little piece of the vision here. And just as an encouragement to us, according to scripture here, is who can we do that for? What can we do to make someone's life better by washing their feet somehow? Maybe it's physically. Maybe there's a revolution or a victory that you have just gone through as brother to sister, husband to wife, brother to brother. That has happened here where you need to wash someone's feet and humble yourself and just say, I want to wash your feet because I'm making a commitment here. I'm driving a stake home and making a commitment here. A quote I thought of and wrote down was, the love of God is demonstrated by our love for man. But the love of God is demonstrated by our love that we have for each other. That is a challenge. 34, Matthew 25, 34 to 40 says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And here's where we can take the bowl and the towel illustration. And that's where it comes out of. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least one of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto him, Then on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire and prepared for the devil and his angels. Why is he saying this? And so we see this as our Christian duty, the verses 34 to 40. This is our Christian duty. And but we also see the consequences of some things that may not, if we don't do them, what can happen? So... Are you your brother or sister's servant? Or are there things that are not worked out that keeps you from giving yourself to others? Are you responsible for a breach in a relationship? Husband or wife, brother to brother, sister to sister, whatever it may be. Is it my responsibility? We heard that last weekend, I think it was. Is it my responsibility for a breach in a relationship? Is there anything I could do to close that breach? I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee, then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And then he says, Here what will happen. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Strong warning. Strong warning for us to become servants of all, and encourages us to serve one another. When we serve, it has a way of purifying us and cleansing us. Jesus is saying, serve each other, encourage each other, assist in keeping each other's souls clean. Is there such a thing? I don't know how you find it, but when you serve, there's something that happens within that gets you excited. There's something that, you know what, I have a purpose after all. I was discouraged before, but I have a purpose. I know there's this story, and I'm not sure where this comes from or who it was, but this lady was just discouraged, depressed, didn't have a purpose. And all of a sudden, somebody shared with her, well, why don't you bake some cookies and give them to someone? And so she started baking. She baked a few cookies and took them to someone. And she baked some more and she took them to someone. And she just kept baking more and more cookies. And then this individual that encouraged her a little while later met her again and said, hey, you know, what's going on? And she said, you know what? I don't have time. I'm so busy baking cookies and giving them to people. I just don't have time to stop and talk. She had a purpose. All of a sudden, she was not depressed. All of a sudden, she had a purpose. She was excited about what she was doing. Is there a cleansing that happens when we serve? I think so. There's an encouragement that comes out of that. So as we go to feet washing, may we become servants, not only in the act here, but leaving from here today, may we be encouraged to serve each other in greater ways, whether that be making things right with each other. If there's a lack, can you meet that lack? Can you meet that need? I see it, church. I don't know. They did that in the New Testament, and I see some of the persecuted church doing that today. There's a loss of possessions and everything that I have, right? And I'm with a body. Let's say I'm with the persecuted church. I'm with a body, and I know nothing else except I want to meet my brother's needs. And so if I have some, I saw this over at the refugee camp. When somebody had a lack of something, there was somebody there to meet that need because they could feel for each other. And they didn't have much to give, but they gave it anyway. It's like God will provide that food for tomorrow, but here it is for you today. And I look at the rest of the world and I say, we're just not quite there yet. Could it be possible that it'll happen here? That maybe it's one day we'll just all gather together and we'll start dividing our stuff out with each other to meet the needs in each other's lives. But may we start today, especially in the spiritual and then the physical. I don't know how to do that in the physical, in a monetary way. I don't know how to do that. And would love to have conversation on that. But is that possible today where we are with all the prosperity that we have? But in it all, may we become servants of each other. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you do yourself.